I'm Laura Harper Lake.
And I'm Sarah Reitzman, and you're listening to Creative Guts.
Hey, folks, happy Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in to Creative Guts.
Today, we're talking with Emily Slama, the jewelry maker behind Made by Emily. I'm so interested to hear more about the creative process of bringing a piece of jewelry to life.
I'm interested too. I don't think I've ever spoken with a jeweler who's worked with stones and metals and all these different components. You know, I do know a few that work with like laser wood cut or different like laser cut. There's a few artists at Art Front Street that have that. But someone who works with so many different varieties of elements in their work, it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's funny because I think like handmade jewelry is one of my favorite things to shop for. And I love getting it as like a souvenir when I travel too. But I've never really put all that much thought into how it's made and how those ideas come to life.
Yeah, yeah. And who's behind it? I'm the same way. Like I have jewelry from when I went to Austin and New Orleans and so on. And like, yeah. And to have that with someone who's very close to us, especially you in Durham, is going to be extra cool.
Yeah, she's literally my neighbor, so that's pretty exciting. And I'm sure our listeners are excited too. So without further ado, here's Emily. Welcome, Emily. Thank you so much for coming and joining us in the Creative Guts studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start by just talking a little bit about how you got into jewelry making and how long you've been doing it.
Well, I've always been crafty. I didn't major in art. In fact, I never took an art class in college or in high school, which is regrettable. So I make sure that my children take art. But I ended up getting my degree from UNH, and then I've always been crafty, and I love to go to craft fairs. And my mother-in-law, when I met my husband, my mother-in-law, she has an amazing jewelry collection. And so she showed me things like jasper and moonstone and labradorite and
names. I know, they're just, it's like poetry. You're just spouting poetry right now. It's so beautiful sounding.
Lapis lazuli. Ooh. And malachite. And
now you're just making stuff up.
And I learned all of these names. She had all of this jewelry. And before, I just thought jewelry was very sparkly and just never really paid attention to the beauty of a rock or a stone. Mm. And she really introduced that to me. So we would go through her vast collection of jewelry, and sometimes she would let me pick out something. And and then fast forward about 15 years, I was an at-home mom, and that was my favorite thing to be. And I wanted to do something when the kids went to high school. So I kind of thought about what I would like to do. And what I noticed is that I would always look at what people were wearing for jewelry. And I know when I put on jewelry, I pick it because of the color or because it makes me feel good. It could be sparkly. It could be meaningful. There's a whole bunch of reasons why somebody would pick jewelry. And I was at Michael's one day, and so I picked up a lot of kind of cheap supplies and just started putting things together and taking them apart and putting things together and taking them apart. And one of the things that I noticed is that if you put some things together, it will make a fabulous necklace. And if you mess up, then,
then not so much.
Then it's okay. Like you can take it apart and put it back together a different way. So I just practiced a lot, and so I'm self-taught, and I go after the things that I love the most, things that I would want to wear, and I'm so happy that other people want to wear those things too.
I love that, although I feel bad you didn't have any art because it's just awesome to experience, but I like hearing that because I feel like I want folks out there to realize you can start at any point with any depth of knowledge. You know, it's really just what your gut is telling you to pursue. And your gut was telling you, I want to make this thing that I feel passionate about, that I've always admired, that I love. And you know, you don't need to have an art degree. You don't. Right. You don't. I mean, it's nice. It's fun to have. It's good to have if you want it, but you don't need to. And that's a very inspiring thing because you not only had the drive that you liked doing it, you're now putting yourself out there and marketing yourself, and you have it. And you're, you know, right before the episode started, Sarah was talking about how she ran to the Makery in Durham to buy one of your pieces because she saw it. She loved it so much. It spoke to her so much. So you're having an impact on people. And
I love it when it's when jewelry or a specific thing speaks to somebody. And I happily hear it a lot. And that makes me so happy.
Yeah.
It was cool seeing it on Facebook and being like, I want that. And then going and holding it in my hand and being like, it was different than I thought it was going to be. It was smaller and more dainty. And I was like, this is exactly what I want. But I didn't know that I wanted that until it was like in my hand and I was holding it. And I was like, oh, it's so cute.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Good.
She talks about it. She's like, my New Hampshire necklace, you know. Mm-hmm. She references it, and I love that. It's jewelry, you know, it can look nice and it can look pretty, but it really becomes a part of your identity. Mm-hmm. With, you know, who you are. You know, I'm right now wearing a piece that looks like a D20, which is a dice for a game that I play, and my husband and I met at a board game shop. Like, we are ultra nerds. And
perfect.
But it doesn't have the numbers on it, and it's a very minimalistic, simple way of representing something I love, and the person who gave it to me is who I married, who I love, and it's something we bond over all the time. And so this isn't just a pretty adornment, it's like a piece of my relationship with my husband and a passion we love.
Oh my gosh, I absolutely love hearing that story, because that's one of the reasons why I make jewelry.
Aww.
Because I feel like jewelry tells a story.
Yeah.
And so you never walk into a store and say, oh, that necklace is so blasé, I think I'm going to buy it. You just wouldn't do that. You go into a store and it catches your eye and there's something about it. Either you're on vacation, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, you want to remember where you are, and this feeling that you have of carefree, and you're at the beach, and so you see the shell necklace, and mm-hmm, you just want it. And every time you wear it, every time you see it, you feel that feeling. And I feel like jewelry gives you that connection. And there's just so many other ways, just like you were saying, like, you know, the dice that you wear. I thought it was a neat geometric shape.
Exactly.
But it's sentimental in that way. And I love hearing that story. And there's so many things that I've been asked to make custom that really makes my day. It's so sweet. There was somebody that had old pearls that their grandmother had, an old pearl necklace. And I had to, they were tied, you know, as good pearls should be. So I had to cut each pearl out and separate it. And each of the pearls there were small ones and medium and large. And I had to divide it in an equal way and make a layered bracelet. And so what I did is I made four layered bracelets for each of the grandchildren. And it was wonderful because everyone can wear this very contemporary, really nice bracelet, and they know it was their grandmother's necklace. And just creating it was wonderful. I really loved it. It was my pleasure.
That is so beautiful. Like, I'm just clutching my heart right now. Like, oh, that's just so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, another story that I had was there were three best friends, and I know them well, and they wanted some kind of a token of their friendship, and so they wanted a dainty set of hearts, and they thought that they wanted it on a necklace, but none of them thought that they would wear it as a necklace, so they asked for a bracelet. And because it was a bracelet, I could kind of upgrade it a little bit and add a lot of sterling silver and, you know, more interesting sizing little details to the end of the bracelet. And I think that they all really liked it. When I presented it, everybody was really happy, and it was a neat symbol of the three friends. And so it was three hearts for three friends.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah,
that is.
There's a lot of those kinds of stories, and I just love it. So,
can you tell us about your jewelry and maybe describe your style?
Sure. I usually do classic pieces, things that are simple in design. Sometimes I'll go out of my way to do a statement piece, but in general, I do things that are classic and simple and have fine lines. I like geometric shapes. Mm. I also like to do things with gemstones because I'm a huge fan of sparkly things. So anytime I can buy gemstones is a good day. So,
do you have a favorite piece of all the ones you've ever made, or is that just like too tall of a question?
Actually, I do. I have one that I bring out usually to the stores during graduation time or the end of a school year, and it's a compass necklace. It's oxidized in the center, and it's sterling silver all around. And I love it because, to me, when I make those necklaces, I think about where you've come from and where you're going to. Mm. There's always a reason why somebody would choose to have a compass necklace, and it makes a great gift. It's a great thing for yourself, and so I wonder sometimes, that seems to be a big seller, and I wonder sometimes about why somebody chooses it. It's usually a happy occasion. Sometimes it's to, you know, remind people where they're going. And
bonus, if you get lost in the woods,
then you have a compass.
You are set. That's what when you said that, I'm like, I could use that. I mean, I once got lost on a hike with my dog. I mean, it wasn't. We figured it out together, but it was still like, oh, that could have helped maybe. I don't know.
That's very helpful.
While looking stylish.
Once again, we're talking about that combination of art and function, and I love that intersection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except that I don't really know how to use a compass because I don't know which way is north. Like, I could look at the compass and be like, oh, that way's north. That tells me nothing because I don't know where I am.
You need a trail marker.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the idea of it. I don't know if it would help me either. I just like the idea of it.
It must be nice sometimes. You were talking about sort of what motivates somebody to buy something. It must be nice sometimes people share, like, oh, I bought this thing and here's what I love about it, versus you probably sell a lot of jewelry and you just never really know the story. But that must be nice when people share it on Facebook or Instagram or whatever and tag you and talk about
it. I love it when people share why they bought something. I also love it when I'm somewhere and I see my pieces being worn by people. I love it when I see it worn by people that I know. And I really love it when I see it worn by people that I don't know. And one of my favorite things was I was having coffee with a friend and somebody walked by in downtown Durham. Somebody walked by the coffee shop and I looked at her necklace and I said, oh, I made that necklace. And but actually the funny part is that it wasn't a necklace. It was a double wrap chakra bracelet. But this person was able to wear it as a necklace and it really looked nice.
That's awesome. When you see people out in the wild with your jewelry, do you usually say something to them or is that too weird?
No, I don't want to weird them out, but I love it. It just makes me so happy to see them.
It's kind of like when you have a dream and somebody's in it and you're like, do I tell them? Do I not tell them?
Probably best not to tell. Yeah. But I do love it and it makes my day every time. And I feel like my style is distinct enough that I know that it's mine. So it's pretty exciting.
That's so cool.
I feel like you already answered this, but I'm going to ask it just in case. But what drew you into making jewelry, the end product or the process itself?
I actually really liked both things. The process itself gives me something to do. And as an at-home mom, you are always doing things, but you don't always complete things. So the things that you do are, you know, laundry. Well, you may complete it, but, you know, 5 minutes later when the kids come home, you have more laundry.
Yeah.
Dishes, you know, any of those things. I mean, I'm a taxi driver basically for my children. So I feel like none of it gives it gives me great satisfaction to do all of those things, but none of those things I can check the box and say I completed it. So I was actually looking for something that I could check the box and say, I made that, mm-hmm. or I did that. And I also really feel like it's important to show the kids and myself and my husband just that this is something of mine, of my own. Mm-hmm. This is what I create. And I think that's kind of a nice legacy. And I think the kids enjoy seeing me out there and
absolutely
putting myself out there. And I like to see myself out there. And I'm a very social person. So when it comes to craft fairs, that's one of my favorite things to do. Just talk to people who are interested in what I make. Makes me very happy.
Aww. That's so cool. So what sort of inspires you? Where do you get your inspiration? And then what does that process look like once you have an idea into actually turning it into a piece?
Oh, sure. Well, so I've been doing this for about 5 years, and it started out much more like robotic. I felt like I needed to create things and make things. And now I look around a lot. I look to see what people are wearing, if they're wearing small, dainty things. Layers are very popular right now, so I make sure that I have things that are interesting to pair up. I love mixing metals, so I might make a sterling silver chain with a 14-karat gold fill charm at the bottom, and that anchors it. And then you probably want to do a couple of other layers in there, and I think that that's the style right now, and I love that. I tend to go with trends. I know that sometimes that's a little bit dangerous as a jeweler, but I actually really like the trends. And so I watch and see what's coming. I'm from California, and so sometimes when I go out to California, I'll watch and see what people are wearing out there. I did notice that gold came back a little earlier out there.
It's the time difference in reverse. Like, we take longer.
It goes west to east, yeah. I think. And so when I came back here, I said, gold is back. This is exciting.
Yeah.
And it wasn't quite. It was not quite back. But now it's back. Yeah. And I'm so happy to be working with gold again. Like I said, I love the mixed metals. I think mixing copper with all of those metals, too, is really interesting and artsy, and it goes with everything. That's what I like to do.
It must keep it really, like, interesting and a fun challenge as a creative to keep experimenting with different, you know, when you see what's kind of out there, it can kind of give you more of a, sometimes you can get in a rut, you know, with, like, what you're creating. Like, I could just create nebulas like all day long, but then sometimes like something kind of gives me a push to be like, oh, I should expand. And yeah. I feel like that kind of methodology would be very interesting all the time.
Yeah, it is actually, because the trends change all the time. It is kind of interesting to watch and see how things go. I research and I look to see what the movie stars are wearing.
Yeah.
I look at what people are wearing in the local coffee shop. And so you would ask my methodology. I actually, now what I do is because I'm social, I often go out to coffee with friends. And one of the things that I do is I look and see what everybody in the coffee shop is wearing and everybody that walks by the coffee shop. And I just want to see, is it long? Is it short? Is it dainty? What are people looking for? And as soon as I come up with something, I draw it. And so my friends think it's very funny when I'll take a receipt out of my purse and I'll jot it on the back of a receipt. But I try to take a picture of it, and I post it sometimes on my Instagram and Facebook, because I feel like it's kind of a different process.
Yeah.
Not all artists do that.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of receipts with lots of little drawings on them. But I always try to make it within a week, because it really is such a fun experiment to see if I can make it. So I'll jot it down. I don't copy exactly what other people do, but I'll jot it down. And then I make it my own.
Yeah. You draw your inspiration.
Exactly.
And then you literally draw it.
And then I draw it. And then I create it. And actually, somebody in one of the coffee shops said, came up to me and said that they bought that piece. They saw it. I posted it with the hashtag of the coffee shop. And then they went out and bought it. And they found me. They didn't know me, and they found me. They saw me drawing another drawing.
Oh, my gosh.
And they said, I know who you are.
That is hysterical.
And so it was really fun, and they loved the necklace, and they weren't wearing it at the time, but they ran out and bought it, and they loved it.
So. Aww.
So it was actually an Instagram post that made me want to ask you to get on Creative Guts, because I saw a post that you did that was definitely, I think, flight in Dover.
That's
and it,
it
was, a sketch of a necklace or something with a cup of coffee. And I remember thinking, like, oh, like, that's just, I don't know, not really how I pictured it happening. Like, that's how I go and I do my writing. I sit in a coffee shop and I, like, you know, jot things
sure.
down or write. But I never really pictured jewelry making having that same process. And I was so intrigued that I was like, I need to know more about this.
Oh, that's so great. Well, that is my process. And I'm often at Flight in Dover.
It must be so hard to, like, be friends with you and go out to coffee with you, because I'm going to meet Emily. What jewelry am I going to wear? Because I know she's going to, like, look at it and notice it.
The pressure's on. I'm not judgmental, though. I always admire.
I'm, like, telling you about my day, and you're like, those earrings are interesting.
Well, you'll know if I think that they're really interesting when I take out a receipt really fast and start to jot.
Well, luckily, I'm already wearing a Made by Emily necklace, so.
I'm so glad that you enjoy it. It looks great.
Thank you. What's your favorite part, and what's sort of the most challenging part? So favorite part, least favorite part of the process.
So what I love about it is being able to complete a project that I haven't done before. So I often do custom pieces. Custom pieces for any creative person is actually such a challenge, because it's taking you out of what you know, your supplies, your materials even, but it stretches you. And I love that. So I would say that it's, you know, kind of the yin and the yang. It propels me forward and shows me a new way. Sometimes it helps me to get into gold or get into silver. And it shows me that I need to constantly be evolving. And I appreciate the ideas of the people who ask me to do things. So I will always try to do what it is that they want me to do. So I would say that's the challenge. But the inspiring part is when I present it and it's exactly what they were hoping for. It really, really is wonderful. It's the best feeling.
That is awesome.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
I was wondering, how does your family play a part in your creative endeavors?
At my house, there's jewelry products everywhere. Our family, when we're watching a movie or when the kids are home, I try to be part of what they're doing. So I'll bring my most favorite thing that I'm working on downstairs, and I might do it on the kitchen table. I might do it on the coffee table. And so I try to bring it wherever I am. So I have little go bags full of gems and jewelry, and I have them all over the place. But I do like working in my studio. I just like to invite everybody in my family in, and so I bring it with me everywhere I go. But one of the other things that I do is my daughter's very creative, and she gave me a sketchbook for Christmas one time, and so she thought it would be a great place for me to put all of my backwards receipts, tape them into the scrapbook so that I can remember what I wanted to make, or that I made it 2 years ago and maybe I want to remake it. And so she got me that. And I try really hard to bring it with me so that I can remember to draw directly in it. But often I end up taping things. And
well, two things. One, that is one of the most thoughtful gifts I've ever heard.
Like, yes.
Kudos to your daughter. And two, I, for many reasons, love that you sketch on receipts, because it's also an intimate, tiny, darling little thing, often like your jewelry, but also it has the date on it.
Oh, that's true.
So when you put it in the book, it has an absolute memory of the location, literally, and the date, and maybe the time shortly after you bought that coffee.
I was going to say, and then I bought the bagel and the cream cheese, too.
Yeah, so. It's awesome. Like, just functionally,
yeah,
that's kind of magical, and it's unique. a lot of people don't have sketchbooks filled with receipts with drawings on them. Like, they just have, you know, pen to paper. And I like that. I like that it's really so unique. Cool. And it's just a little more tangible somehow. Like, it was, it's got the wrinkles on it. It's got your fingerprints on it. Like,
the chocolate from the donut.
Yeah. That too. That was a great joke. Okay. Great lead in. I like can't wait. That was such a good one.
Well, one of the other ways that my daughter plays a role in my jewelry making is that she is a high schooler and she can tell me what the younger population is looking for, because my jewelry spans all generations. And so I find that older people like a certain style and middle-aged people like a certain style. And I even try to make things that younger people would like. Mm. And so she lets me know what the trends are there. And that is priceless.
Yeah.
It's really great. She just lets me know, you know, this color, not that color, this length, not that length. And it's really helpful. And I hope that I'm delivering. I hope that the younger population feels represented in my work.
I love that in addition to being a jewelry maker, you're obviously like great at market research.
Yeah.
Well, I majored in marketing.
Oh. We've come full circle.
Oh, that's such a great segue to my question about your display. I've only seen the one at the makery because I never go into the other ones as a Durham resident. Your packaging, mm-hmm. and like the card things and like the display that's set up in the makery. Do you have creative control over? I know you have creative control over the cards, but sort of the way it's displayed too, because that has a lot to do with selling.
Well, it definitely does. And I've tried different things. First, I'll speak to the cards. I felt it important right away that it be professional, mm-hmm. something that's a good gift or something that I would want to buy for myself if I went into a store. So my sister in Los Angeles is a master printmaker. And so she helped me design my logo and my cards. And for that, I'll always be grateful because I think they really stand out. Happily, people look for them when they go into the stores. And so each of the stores have a different type of display. I love them all, but they're different. And so at the makery, Sarah has the clipboards and she's a master at displaying them so that they're so attractive. And I just come in and I fill it in. So every 2 weeks, I try to visit each store, and that keeps everything fresh. I take things out that haven't sold. I replace it with new things. It lets me be on top of the seasons and on top of the different colors for every season, and also just keep it fresh. And so at the makery, they have the clipboards and bin with all the beans. Everybody loves the bean bin. Mm-hmm. And so that's how they display the cards of earrings. And then at Good Juju, there's also a bean dish with earrings in. And then there's lots and lots of different height displays. And then at My Country Story Store, they make a lot of their displays. And so they made cutouts of necklace displays and they affixed them to the wall. And I love that too. So happily, a lot of my things are on those displays. And I think each store does it differently and I appreciate what they do.
That's really cool. The clipboard thing I love at the makery. The first time I saw it, I thought like, what a weird idea. Who came up with that? But it really works and it's really cool.
It caught your eye.
It's a bunch of clipboards and it's such a perfect grid and they're all hanging on the wall and there's like a colorful piece of paper in the clipboard and then the necklaces are hanging off of like the top of the clipboard thing.
That sounds
and so
awesome.
It looks really cool, like a grid of colorful backdrops for necklaces. It's so neat.
And doesn't it make it easy as the buyer to go up and remove it? And I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Because then you can look and see the price. You can look and see that there's an appropriate tag. You can look and see how it fits and where it where it is, where it lands on you,
yeah.
In the mirror that's right next to it. So
yeah.
It works out very well. And it's bright and colorful.
And it's bright and colorful. Yeah, it's really cool.
This goes back to something you just said briefly, but you were talking about colors and seasons and kind of changing and everything. And I'm just curious, you spoke to trends, but do you notice every spring there are certain colors and does it kind of match what the earth is doing as far as like, you know, more colors and greens are happening in May and June and then more autumn colors are in the fall? And what the heck do you do in the winter? Or, you know, is that happening or is it kind of changes every year?
No, for sure. That the earth drives everything. In the spring, there's the beautiful flowers start blooming and you have the yellows and the pinks and the greens. And really, psychologically, that's what you want to wear.
Yeah.
Because it brings it right in and makes you just part of what's happening outside. And then I think that it kind of starts to go, oh, and the purples, like amethyst is very big during that time. It's also February's birthstone, so it works out pretty well. But I think that then it moves into the summer, and the summer generally people don't like to wear heavy things. They like very small things. And so I try to go for things that are like turquoise and coral and lapis. I love the blue of lapis and just
beach.
Beachy things that are easy that you don't have to take off, because I don't like to take my jewelry off. Mm. I'll just wear it to death. And then when it's just done, then it's done.
Yeah.
And I put it in the jewelry box and then I take out another one and then I wear that to death. So I feel like that. Just knowing that about myself, I assume that other people are like that.
Mm-hmm.
But people like to wear something that's a little fresh for each season.
Mm.
And then when you get into the falls, then you have the oranges of carnelian and citrine, the yellows of citrine and the darker greens. Peridot is, you know, a nice transition. It's also August's birthstone.
Oh.
So it's a really nice transition because it's kind of that yellowy green color. And then it goes right into kind of the darker jade and things that you want to wear in the fall. And it
That's
goes
where I belong.
Your, is that where
in
you
the
belong?
Fall, yeah.
And then do you notice, too, like when you go into the winter, you want heavier pieces because your clothing reflects that. You need something that anchors you. So I find that I make more statement necklaces for that time of the year. It calls for maybe a good chunk of amethyst and, you know, pair that with rutilated quartz and it's just magical. And
well, in the winter, you don't go out as much. So when you do, you really want to look sharp.
Definitely. Definitely. You might choose a pave stone, you know, a pave circle and have it float on your neck for a little, oh, did I wear that? And, and then, or you might have something really, you know, chunky and it's a statement necklace that people will say, oh my gosh, that is really nice when you take off your coat.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That reveal moment.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I love it.
Exactly.
I'm having like flashbacks to watching Project Runway. You know, they make their clothes or whatever, but then they always talk about accessorizing it with jewelry or whatever and how that affects it just as much as the clothes. And it, you know,
absolutely
kind of speaks to that.
Absolutely.
I think one of the things that I'm really loving about this interview is all like the jargon. Like you're pulling out like the jeweler jargon and they're all just like random words to me.
I don't know what they mean, but I don't want you to stop saying them.
Right?
They're so beautiful. Like it is poetry. It really is.
It's simultaneously like, wow, this is so poetic, and also like, wow, she's an expert. Like listen to all these super big words. I love it.
I know. I want to like when I edit, I often look up what people are talking about that I don't understand. Oh. So like I know
what
in a week
it that
or two,
you didn't understand
some of the stones. I don't know what colors they are.
Like, rutilated, blah blah blah.
Rutilated quartz. That's the best. It's so interesting. You know what it is? It's a hunk of quartz. Mm-hmm. So clear quartz.
Yeah.
And rutilated means that there's shards that grew through the quartz of black tourmaline, which is a really cool dark charcoaly color. But it grows in shards. So it you can't control where the shards are going to be. And when it's cut into a form, it just is music.
That's so cool.
So this is reminiscent. It's very sculptural. You know, it's 3D. How does the actual technical part of working with stones, you know, work out?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to be a jeweler. So some people will cut the stones mm-hmm. and some people will hammer out the silver or the gold. I'm sort of a person that puzzles it together. Mm-hmm. So that's my style. But I think that I would like to learn more about metalsmithing going forward. So that is probably my next venture.
Cool. That sounds exciting. I think in any creative practice you do, if you're kind of like, I'm done learning, like it sort of feels like, doesn't sound like you're excited about it anymore. Like when you're, you know, constantly trying new styles or you're trying new methods, like you're always
keeps you motivated,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, and like I think you're just never done learning. Yeah.
No, I love that part.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Lifelong learner right here.
Yeah.
How did you land on your business name?
Oh, Made by Emily.
I like that it's simple. I like that people know your name. Where did that come from?
That was actually how I came up with it. I just wanted to do something, and I had brought sample pieces of my jewelry to the makery when they had first opened. And I'm sure that they would recall me taking it out of my pocket, which is not very professional. But I took it out of my pocket, the five first pieces that I made that I thought somebody might enjoy. And I spread it out on their counter. And I said, do you think other people would enjoy this jewelry? Do you think it would sell? And they said, yeah, actually, let's try it. What's your name? The name of the company. And I thought, well, we'll keep it short and sweet and we'll call it Made by Emily. So that's how it came.
Did you think that on the spot?
Yeah, it was on the spot.
Wow.
And then I promptly put everything back into my pocket. And realized that I needed to contact my sister to give me a good logo. 5 years later, now it's way more professional.
That, like, it just, you know, you kind of already knew what you were about. And so it's great that, you know, because for my business name, for my art and design stuff, like I hemmed and hawed and consulted a bunch of people. And in the process, it was very frustrating. And I mean, it happened, and I like my name now, but it was, I almost wish it was a little more simple and, like, a little more, like, a shot of inspiration, you know? I had seven opinions that were all conflicting, and I was like, well, now what, you know? So I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it's very personal, and I am kind of glad I didn't think too much on it. Mm-hmm. I think maybe if I had thought a lot about it, it would have been a different name, but I needed to come up with one on the spot, and that's what flew out of my mouth. So I kept it.
My favorite thing about it as a Durham resident is I really like that when I see your jewelry and it says Made by Emily or Made by Emily NH sometimes, and I think to myself, like, this jewelry was made by my neighbor, and I just think that's really cool. And that's what it says to me, and that's what I always gather when I see your jewelry and see the name.
I'm so glad, because that is the kind of feel that I was hoping for. Local, friendly.
We definitely want to get into a little bit of, like, the making this decision to monetize and sell your art. And so tell us about how working with places like Main Street Makery and Good Juju and is it My Country Store?
Yep.
How that sort of changed the game for you, being able to do that versus, say, an Etsy page?
Well, that is a really good question, because I've toyed with a website for a really long time. And I opened an Etsy page years ago thinking that that's what I was going to do. And I feel like for me, that doesn't work well, because most of what I make is one of a kind. So I would rather it be in a store so that people can see it. Mm. And if I need to move it around a little or take it home and take it apart and do something else with it, I want to be able to do that. And I feel like when you post it online, besides an Instagram picture or a Facebook picture saying, I made this, I feel like when you post it online for sale, it has to sit in my studio and nobody gets to see it and appreciate it unless they're online. Mm. So I felt a little distant from my audience, from my customers. So I felt like I think the stores are the place for my jewelry.
Yeah. And that really selling it online, I think, would contradict with what I just said about, you know, made by Emily to me says, hey, this is made by my neighbor. That's so cool.
Exactly. And I find, though, that Instagram and Facebook have been great for me. I know I've been contacted many times by people who really want me to sell online. But what I do instead is if they contact me via messaging on Instagram or Facebook, I try to respond very quickly. I'm always on it, so I respond pretty quickly. And if they ask me how much it is, I'm so happy to send them the jewelry. And we just do it through Square online.
Yeah.
It's very easy. And one other thing that my daughter did for me for Christmas one year was she made me a map of the United States. Because she was really proud of the fact that I had sent my jewelry to many different states. And so now when I get to send my jewelry to a different state, I just color it in with colored pencil. And it's really a fun reminder to me that I have sold all over the country. And sometimes it travels all over the world. And
that's so cool.
It's really fun.
Sarah and I are just both melting over how freaking adorable your daughter is. Like, that's so thoughtful. Having the support of family for your creative endeavors and the success and celebrating that success is just wonderful because you can share it. You know, it's really nice. Yeah. And you're inspiring your kids.
Yes.
You are.
That makes me really proud.
That's amazing. That's so great. Did you hear that, listeners? Even though she's not on Etsy, jump online and check out Made by Emily NH, and you can have one of these pieces too. And if you happen to not be a local New Hampshireite, then, you know, you'll be filling in another box on her map.
Yeah, what states are you missing?
Well, some of the Midwest.
All right. Midwesterners.
There's North Dakota, South Dakota.
Oh, that's where the bulk of our listeners are, coincidentally.
Oh, very good. Illinois.
Ooh.
Let's see. I just sent a piece to Wisconsin
the other day.
That was really exciting. It was a bear paw because they really liked it. So I thought that was fun. Surprisingly, I send a lot of my jewelry out to California, Washington State, Colorado. Yeah. So many places.
Yeah,
Virginia.
So that
Virginia
map's pretty colored
there.
In then, basically.
It is.
Yeah. Have you posted so the map fun. On your social media at all?
No, but I think after this, I might.
I'd love to see it. Like, I love people's travel maps when they mark off where they've been and everything. And I think that's a wonderful way to note all the lives you've touched, all the places you've reached. So as with every episode, we like to do rapid fire questions. What's your favorite piece of jewelry to wear?
My shocker bracelet.
You don't even have to think about it.
I never take it off.
Ooh.
Oh, it's so pretty.
Thank you.
Sorry, listeners, you can't see it.
I know. Do you want to know what all the stones are?
Sure.
So I always use genuine gemstones on everything that I make because why do it if it's not going to be real?
Mm-hmm.
So this bracelet is a double wrap and it has garnet that's red and orange is carnelian. Yellow is citrine, green is unikite, which is such a nice color for the fall.
Oh.
And then there's turquoise, blue. Let's see, I usually put sodalite in, but for my own, I put lapis lazuli because I love it.
Oh.
And then for purple, I put amethyst, and then I just added a little rainbow.
What's your favorite material to work with?
I guess I would say I love to work with sparkly gemstones, and I love to work with sterling silver.
Yeah.
Average amount of time it takes to create a piece.
Oh, that is a very good question. It takes way longer than you would think. It's a good 4 to 6 hours to create something.
Wow.
It's really long. It takes all day. And that's why it's so nice when you buy local, because you know somebody actually sat there, thought about it, crafted it, packaged it, and brought it to where you bought it.
I'm going to think of that every time I go into Makery.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Emily's at home right now slaving right. away over her next piece of jewelry.
That's right.
Most inspiring place you've ever traveled to?
Oh my gosh, that's a really good one too. Probably Mexico. I like all the colors.
Yeah.
It's really fun. And I love, because I didn't really have a formal education in art, I actually have to refer to the color wheel a lot. Yeah, I know. Anybody yeah. else, they would just know it. And yeah. I have to stare at it and see how colors mix and mm-hmm. what to pair with what. And in Mexico, I found those Talavera tiles. They're so colorful and they work, yeah. every single one of them. So I try to memorize the color combinations so that when I come home, I can remember that this color blue goes with this color green. And wouldn't that be neat on a cascading earring?
Oh, what a so great cool. scoop of inspiration.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think that's one of the best answers to that question.
Oh, great.
I just realized I was far away. We've asked that question of other folks, and they usually say, like, oh, this location, it was just moving. It was yeah. nice. It was, yeah. you know, or I felt free and I felt like I could inspire, you know. But, like, that was a very good answer to, like, I directly draw this inspiration.
Yeah.
I like that. That's awesome.
I take a lot of pictures.
When you're creating jewelry, do you listen to music? And if so, what are you listening to at the moment that's, like, your kind of go-to music?
You're going to laugh. I listen to Post Malone.
You're right. We laughed.
Post Malone and Khalid are my most favorite ones right now. That's right, all you at-home moms. We can also be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That makes me so happy.
Yep. Oh, yep. Post man. Just dropped a new album, and it's great. Yep. Oh, now, my no. sister says I should be listening to podcasts, and I think I might be doing that going forward.
Nice. Podcasts are awesome. They're very addicting.
Absolutely.
Favorite color?
I love orange. Orange is such a nice color because you don't want too much of it, but it's very motivating.
Yeah.
And I feel like, well, carnelian is one of those stones that's that deep orange. I'm looking at this tablecloth and it has feathers on it, and it's that deep orange that I love. I also really love this combination of the turquoise and the
it's and so the vibrant.
Orange. I didn't I think about that. Might have to take a picture and make some earrings.
Do but, it. Ooh, yeah, I love that.
Would that be great?
Yeah.
Inspired by creative guts.
It's actually kind of our, like, logo colors,
it's
too.
It's very similar.
A little, like, coral and yep. bluish, tealish,
I might have to make a special edition.
Do it! Oh, my God! It's well, got a good fall vibe, I feel it. Yeah.
Well, one of my products that I make, empowerment necklaces. Mm-hmm. And so I make these empowerment necklaces, and right now they're sold at the makery, and they have different features or feelings that you might want to harness. So one of the things that I try to make available are things that I would want to harness. So focus and empowerment and courage and peace and strength. And the stone means that. And so carnelian, that orange color, means courage and confidence. And I feel like, just like the color, you can't have too much of it. You need to have some of it, though.
Yep.
And I feel like that orange and those feelings just go along well together.
And how fitting wow. for creative guts, which is what we're all about, right. Like the guts / courage to put it out there and make what you're passionate about. Favorite flavor?
Chocolate.
Favorite smell?
Pumpkin.
Ooh.
Nice. Favorite texture?
Oh, like the soft cloud of a blanket.
Oh, I just want to snuggle now.
Favorite sound?
Rain.
That's a really good one. And the last one that we kind of used to round it all out, that's always very motivating, I think, for folks. If you could go back in time, what advice would you give your younger self?
Take an art class.
Oh, that's a great one.
You're fun. It's always good advice for anybody at any time. Thank you so much, Emily, for being on this episode.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
So with that,
show us your creative guts.
We learned a lot of beautiful words today. I cannot get over it. I use a lot of jargon when I start talking about workforce housing, so I hope that people think that I'm as like charming and smart as I thought Emily was.
Oh, we all collectively totally do, Sarah. Don't worry. It sounds like a poem every time you speak about affordable housing and zoning regulations.
So poetic.
You should release a book. But let's talk about Emily. What a fascinating conversation. I loved hearing her terminology as well. I think that's what you're getting at. Hearing about all the colors and just the beautiful words and, oh, could just, you know, swim in it. But I was also really special to hear about what it means to her, how much it means to her when she sees her pieces alive out in the world with their owners. And I was really touched by the thoughtfulness and kindness that her daughter, you know, shows in the support with the gifts that she gives her for Christmas. You know, it was just, that's really nice to see that. I'm sure that means a lot to Emily as well, but just as an outsider, it touched me, and I just thought it was so special to have someone who's totally getting what you're doing and just promoting it as much as they can and being so happy and supportive of it.
Yeah. I feel really aware of how, like, special and sentimental my jewelry is, not just to me, but to, like, the jeweler who worked hard to make it, and that's so sweet. And she was really wonderful, and frankly, my face hurts from laughing.
Yes, she was just absolutely wonderful to talk with. That was awesome. For folks out there, we did mention it in the interview, but if you missed it, you can find Emily's beautiful work on Facebook and Instagram at the handle Made by Emily NH, which of course we will link on our Facebook page.
And if you want to learn more about us and Emily and our other guests, you can find that Facebook page at Creative Guts Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to Creative Guts.
We'll see you next Wednesday. I'm sorry. I should have warned you. I'll take pictures periodically. Keep talking. Pretend okay. I'm not doing this awkward thing you don't like, probably.
I was like, oh, God. Okay.
Surprise.
Yeah. Cut that one out. Sorry.
See,
ta-da!
Isn't that the magic?
I've been trying so hard not to do that.
I know. It hurts. Rapid fire. Oh, my cheeks hurt. Yeah. We're smiling so much, right?
Pull it down. It's amazing the amount I laugh. You'd think that my like cheek muscles would be super strong, like I'd have like huge cheeks.
You can lift, muscular lift weights with this cheek.